Yeah, welcome back to the Michael Anthony Show, and thank you for tuning in to episode 169 last week. Bigot Graham Linehan was on the show, so I hope you enjoyed listening to his bigoted views. This week it's just me, the host of the show, the personality and the human that carries this thing through all types of states, moods, eras. And yeah, it's been an incredible journey, albeit a very lonely journey, one in which has seen me lose a lot of friends. And yeah, that's probably something I thought was one of the negative sides that comes with speaking your truth into a sure microphone once every fucking 18 weeks. And then I became reborn. I came back out of a cunt, but this time the cunt of wisdom and spirituality and truth. And it took a while, because obviously you come out of the cunt in the 90s and REM matter and shit, and Steve Bruce is still playing football, and then you get a go at living in a world that is made up and has no rules, reason, or sense. And you're expected to accept nonsense off a series of figures that you encounter throughout your journey, take their information, their advice, attribute it to yourself, and live accordingly. The big issue with that is that many people struggle with that. So they either go against it or miserably go with it. But sometimes going against it results in losing other figures of the game that you relied on for sanity. But they're safety nets. And most people don't have the self-trust or self-belief to ever believe that they are safety nets, and the only person you can ever really know is yourself, and the only person you have a responsibility to know is yourself. So when they begin to not see eye to eye, or whatever the fuck the white things that give us vision that lie in the skull, apparently, whenever they fail to see things in common with these individuals anymore, they blame themselves. So that life that they were given when they came out of the Steve Bruce orientated fanny begins to crumble and get decorated in self-blame and self-hate. And they give up. And the other option is the guy who never dared to fall out but lives in misery also begins to give up due to the eruption of the inner volcano of pain. But what they don't realize, and sometimes it takes a moment, is that you can be reborn within that. And I'm sure you can sense of the fact that I chose to speak to all of the people who tune into this show in a manner in which I betrayed my personality a number of years ago, that I haven't opted to do it with the same level of consistency. And the question is why. It's because, as I've said many times before, I lost my identity, began to not only dislike myself, but even scarier, not know myself. There's a few moments within the entire journey of not knowing yourself in which you kind of go, oh no, I know myself for a second, but then again, the negativity, it's like a fucking it's like a swarm of ants over a pile of sugar on concrete. And maybe one of the reasons I am so fucked up is that my child minder when I was 5 and 6, much respect Mrs. Gleason, in order to just get me out of her hair. When the hurling failed, which is an Irish sport that some listeners may know, her husband was a Tipperary man known for, well, essentially just hurling. In fact, we should look into closing that county down. When she got me a hurl and I measured up to the wall and it was at hip waist and took me out the back garden, hit the ball around a bit, and then I tried to pick it up with my hand, but her husband started screaming, "Get that ball down! Get that ball out of your head!" I realised hurling wasn't for me. So after that, the activities of entertainment by Mrs. Gleason was putting a pile of sugar out the back garden. The ants would come and then I'd have a little, like a Dettol thing you used to spray fucking counters with, and she'd encourage me to just shoot the ants. So the ants would come towards the sugar and I would end their existence. So, I mean, maybe the mystery isn't as great as I portray. I was conditioned to kill by a negligent minder who 100% did not have a certificate in child minding. And I saw her husband's willy one too many times. Not in the sexual way, but I saw his willy. The first time I ever saw grey pubes.
The sinking sand of despair, the smell of dread in the air. I'm head to toe in my own fear. I'm going to die, no need to cry. Ah.
Didn't know, obviously, at that age. You don't know if pubes go grey too. Obviously, they do. Triangular grey pubes. Yeah. Formative moment. But that's what happens. Yeah, you get the odd moments where you check back in with yourself. Like, just walking down the street 2 days ago. There was a couple there walking a fucking dog in a East London field. That I just wish was the Gaza Strip. I mean, what a waste of bombs. What a waste of human violence. Palestine. There's no way these people are worse than the cunts who walk around London parks every Saturday morning, overcompensating for a lack of mutual love by getting almond milk flat whites and putting their dog in a fucking jacket. If you're so far away from finding meaning in this relationship that you've opted to be in order to keep what you would deem the vultures of judgment away from your soul, and you have rid yourself of all real emotion and love, don't take it out on canines who have fur for a reason by putting it in a 35-pound jacket, a fucking gilet on the fucking poodle, and walking it around in public sight. Instead, take the 30 pounds and begin therapy. And make up for the rest of the cost by selling your fucking Smeg fridge that you keep in your apartment, so you can take out ingredients and use one of the 40 Jamie Oliver cookbooks you keep in your bullshit kitchen to make irrelevant meals that your soon-to-be wife will shit out in the toilet. You won't talk about the shit, though. These couples do not talk about dumps. It's in reality. They talk about their wedding shot on Instagram. They talk about the best angle of the mountains on the honeymoon, but they never, or very rarely, turn around to each other and go, "Did you enjoy that shit?" The fucking fridge that you use to show that other couple that you consider friends, who for some reason you actually do nothing but wish the worst on when they come around to your house and you spend the entire 2 hours and one bottle of wine. The second one never gets cracked open because the passive aggression doesn't allow it. And it would interrupt your plan of getting them out, so you and the cunt opposite you, wearing Under Armour, can talk about their problems and how they don't really love each other and root for their split and possibly further their death, because you're the same type of people who will go to every single fucking funeral when you're 50, not to be there for the family. The family doesn't care about you. And not to be there for the dead guy. He's dead. He doesn't know you're there. End funerals. Now money to charity. But to kind of give yourself a buzz off the fact that it's them and not you. As if cancer is some kind of negative tag. I mean, is there anything that shows how out of touch you are with our humanity and our mortality more than being comfortable at funerals? Popping in somewhere to see a guy you used to know in a box and just getting on with your day. You've checked that much out of reality that you're cool with it and take a bit of pride in the fact that you're still going, although you're not really, you're just a fucking illusion who lies down hungover scrolling TikTok as if that's any different than being cremated or buried. It isn't. Check in with yourself and realize what the point of a fucking consciousness is. But you're so drawn to materialism, which you learn from and get justified on things like Instagram and TikTok, that you've completely forgot the fact that you are a creature or an animal. So therefore you begin to vote right wing, claim that all human suffering is due to the human doing it, as opposed to social and economic circumstances, just so you can distance yourself more from the fact that you, like that homeless guy who's coming up looking for a tenner, are just the same. Michael Kors handbag or no, Michael Kors handbag, he shits, he pisses, and by the way, he dies. And so do you. But any person who knows that is saddened by it, mildly afraid, and doesn't really want to overly go to funerals. Because he doesn't like remembering that he fucking dies and can't just brush it off and get on with his day. And also, he kind of views it as disrespectful. I mean, I've been at wakes and I've seen people staring at bodies who should not be staring at them. With pride! If we could measure their emotions, in terms of percentage, sadness and despair is under 30. Because all human beings like doing is seeing other human beings do worse than them. And we train that belief from the moment children are 3 and 4 by telling them that academics matter, exam results matter, forget about play. Is it Finland? I think it's Finland that is refusing to academically educate kids now under the age of fucking 8 because they understand that as fucking young creatures that they express themselves via play. And that doesn't mean going out and shouting at each other about who's in next and fucking 3 and in and who scored and who was offside. That's all competition. That's training you for the corporate world. I mean genuine fucking play. Because they're the moments when you find yourself as a young human being, the fort behind the shed creativity. The fake fucking rock band you invent and pretend there's an audience. Leadership. Teamwork. Weird sexual underage relations. And I might be alone on that one. But play is where you express yourself. And play is taken out of our society. That previously mentioned couple with the jacketed dog and the flat white. They ain't playing. They aren't shitting with the door open. They aren't doing an impression of China and Triple H on the fucking double bed. They're making it immediately after a bit of fucking missionary. They love each other as long as they're on the same team, but they're very competitive about it. The minute those breakups happen, you can't just wish them well. You block them and eye up a friend and spread gossip because it's actually a rivalry, the relationship, isn't it, guys? It's not camaraderie. It's, I need you, I'm half telling you I need you and exposing a tiny bit of vulnerability. But I'm also letting you know that if I wasn't around, you'd be finished. Welcome to modern day, Instagram orientated, jacketed dog, flat white drinking, London Park love. And then we watch more TV in which Victoria Beckham and her cunt. Oh, and I mean cunt of a husband, David Beckham, can tell us what love is whilst he builds an empire of delusional children who are marrying the heir to the Wendy's throne so he never has to go back to his East London, two up, two down, ever again. Nothing more dangerous than new money. Do I like success stories? Of course I do. There's nothing better than the guy who worked hard all his life or the fucking artist who took a risk and came from nothing. But when you become a fucking economic powerhouse like the Beckhams, you're motivated by something different. They're genetically editing their kids and shit. Okay? The guy who takes the photos and cuts cheese pretending he's a chef is shagging the granddaughter of the guy who invented the Wendy's burger, and Beckham's probably shagging her simultaneously because they're pretending that Rebecca Luce wasn't correct, still in the documentary. Covering the affair, some of the media are taking it as, no, they act as if they were attacked with a lie. The woman's telling the truth. And a lot of people refuse to turn on Beckham because his right foot was that of a god. And listen, guys, I had that struggle when I was fucking 17. Because, yeah, when I was 5, the first time I ever went to a football match, I was in the home end in Goodison Park, 6 rows from the front. Months after he'd got sent off against Argentina and France, and I saw his golden locks, his brill-creamed hair, I'd brill-cream. Back home, I saw his fucking 90s Predator shining under the Merseylight floodlights. I'd kind of fake little red and white boots at home, and I went out to the back garden, I pretended to be him, and he was also the first time I ever saw genuine human badness. When a grown man was taking a corner, just getting on with his job, and the fucking Everton fans, back home, you fucking cunts! You white sakes up the fucking nugget, back home! These Scousers happen to have cerebral palsy, by the way, if I didn't mention it. Oh yeah, I saw a guy who has been vilified and attacked, and that Beckham I love will always appreciate, and I was thinking, leave him alone. My young Woody from Toy Story idolizing Crash Bandicoot playing ass thought he was Christ-like. And I was Mary fucking Madeline holding out the towel. Leave him alone. He's doing nothing wrong but expressing himself. You are jealous, bitter men. And they were. So I genuinely, 6 rows from the front, age 5, essentially had a Christ-like figure in David Beckham. So, if you're still falling for it and thinking he's a great story and not a danger to society because you have fond memories of his right foot and his work rate, don't think I can't relate to that. But he's a symbol of what they're teaching us, handing the Ballon d'Or to Messi. Why? Being in documentaries that are so lazy that Netflix aren't even using the right clips of Fergie to match the fucking game he's playing in. Having Roy Keane with a cup of tea and a biscuit as if he's a toothless Irish farmer. Hey Roy, I thought it was a good idea. Tea and a biscuit, you're Irish, right? Choreographed, delusional, muck. And the only thing I'm shocked by is that I haven't seen David Beckham do a press conference outside Bobby Charlton's funeral yet. He must have bigger things going on. Kim Kardashian's son must be making his debut for Inter Miami next week. Without even mentioning the fact that UK burials are just way too late in the day. I mean, Bobby Charlton's already been reincarnated. He's playing for the Preston under-8s, for fuck's sake. But I mean, Ashley Young and these guys scraping invites because he had a certain amount of United appearances, using the picture of his funeral entrance back in the fucking 80s and 90s. Get the cameras out of my face. The players are now clipping good pictures of them in their fucking well-picked out suits by their fucking cunt wife or even cuntier stylist and sharing this and saying it's an honour to be invited, as if Bobby, who survived Munich and went on to win the World Cup in 66 and the European Cup in 68, isn't in there in a box. As if it's about your suit, Ashley Young. As if it's about your fucking political stance, Gary bastarding Lineker. I forgive Fergie. Fergie came out, he was classy. And for it to be so soon after Lady Cathy moved on, I think it shows the strength of the Docklands legend that is Sir Alex Ferguson. And I think it's actually only right that we take this next minute and dedicate it to Lady Cathy.
One of us, Los Alex Ferguson, Los Alex, Los Alex, shut up. Los Alex, shut up. Oh, sorry, I can't lie. Is it seven and you're talking? Get him out. Get him out.
That was for Lady Cathy. It's just people. It's you grow into learning how disgusting they are, and things you formerly thought were disgusting actually turn out to be beautiful because they're at least they're motivated by the concept of survival. When you walk into an Indian ran deli, when you go into one of those shops to pick up a water and it's 60p, or you see on his counter that Yorkie actually has 70p written on the wrapper, and you do question it, going, why would Yorkie limit themselves to this if they're getting bulk bought? Why would they put the price on the wrapper that gives absolutely no wiggle room to the possible price? And then you start going, are the deli owners making their own bars here? Are they making their own bars and putting fake Yorkie wrappers on them that say 70p on them? And why is the Evian a quid when it's 210 over there? Because it's tap water. And it's just fucking, it's re-tied and re-wrappered. And of course there's a criminal who would take care of the fucking background work of that, because not all crime is whoring and drugging and killing. Some of it's quite sophisticated. There's a criminal out there who makes fucking counterfeit fucking Kit Kats. That's a fact. And he gives them to those shops, and then your mind runs wild and you go, fuck, what? Do we know anything? And then you go, no, fuck it, we do know things. We know that they're heroes finding a loophole in a bullshit system. So yeah, the Kit Kats and Yorkies are fake underground made chocolate putting counterfeit wrappers, and the water's tap water with just really good impressions of major branding on it, but these guys are fucking creatives. These aren't criminals. These are beautiful people. And once you see the beauty in people, you might just get that chance to have a look in the mirror, not headbutt it, and say, I like you. And I, like I presume many of the people who are tuning into this show, didn't have that moment for a while. And last Friday, friendless, isolated, I stumbled across a beautiful woman holding an electric guitar in a small venue, accompanied by just a guy on bass, no drums, pouring her heart out into the microphone and letting anybody watch her know that the only personal crime we can ever make is giving a fuck. And the only thing that will ever connect our heart and souls is the expression. It's of your fucking self. Something that can't be defined. Something that has existed in a past that doesn't exist bar photo evidence that you're all so obsessed with. Herself that was wild in the moment and there. So it would be wrong of me not to try and give the listeners just a glimpse of what I felt that night. When I needed it most. Bully everybody.
Choice, I wanna know it.
That was Bully with All I Do. Thanks for lending the show your music, and Jesus, I won't be fully satisfied until the day comes that a singing, songwriting woman is willing to share their light, is willing to share their life with me. A shag, really, I suppose you could call it. Yeah, there's been some points where, yeah, when you're not conscious or tuned in to what the fuck you are or what you think you're supposed to be doing in order to achieve satisfaction, you unconsciously walk into remarkably bad situations. And then when you see somebody like that beautiful lady express herself, you get the ability to laugh at it. Like, I was recently going for a sauna because I thought it would sort me out, you know. And there was a gym and a glassed window behind it, and there was a swimming pool in this place, and I got out of the swimming pool and I saw a guy in the leg press try harder when he saw me. I was his motivation, because he didn't want to become me. When he saw Tyson Fury without the boxing skill climb out of that pool, he went from 6 reps to 8 reps. And it wasn't just my weight that offended this guy. It was the fact that I was rapidly losing my relationship with not just my body, but my manhood, my testosterone, my frame. Borderline becoming one of those guys who you just cannot imagine has a dick. You don't have to be fat to be one of these guys. You just have to seem like you have a nothing relationship with your sexuality. Some of these men can be good men. Some of them can have personalities. Ollie Solskjaer, for example. Great sub. Not a great manager, but no dick. Ollie Solskjaer doesn't have a penis. You get human beings, if we're doing a front two, Robbie Keane. Robbie Keane's no dick. I'm not going to go through a whole Phil Neville has to be a fullback. I'm not going to do a team, but Wes Brown hardly has a cock. It would make no sense, obviously, to do an entire 11, Tony Hibbert, I mean, you can't leave him out, of dickless individuals. Carragher. Fucking Carragher. Again, okay player in his day, doing well in the game he's in from a media point of view. The stylist has done a great job with his beard. He kind of has the tough man Scouser act going, but is there a bollocks and cock there? I don't see it. Even at the lowest kind of dirty pre-season threat, I just can't see his erect dick being pulled out. This could just be me, but does Roy Keane have a dick? Again, hard man, represents all the things you want to do. And is Keane of cock? Damien Duff, did any of that 0-2, Niall Quinn, did any of that 0-2 Irish squad have a cock?
Check that. Oh yeah, Saipan. Japan and South Korea, yeah. Just type in, did any of the have a cock? David Connolly. I don't see a cock on the team. Ian Hart didn't have a cock. And Herrera's cockless. Oh, yeah, maybe it's just, yeah. It's a football thing, maybe. But I've always been a bigger individual.
So my kind of buzz came off more of betrayal of, as I said, the masculinity within my cells. And yeah. Just blindly walk into situations in which you're letting yourself down without even knowing it, just unconsciously walking into landmine after landmine. Each one has an explosion that disrupts the identity. And if you continue to wait around your own energy or keep or see other energies that further that, yeah, eventually you end up cockless, soulless, and without an identity, forgetting why you began anything you currently do, and forgetting that we are just an organism, and not abiding by the key fundamentals of life, is that you put things out there. Doesn't even have to be creative. Just even verbally and spiritually, and you do not care about the end result, because the only thing you can control is the fucking output of your body and spirit. You put it out there. Only you know you. You're the only person who has a clue who you are. You can't control anything else. You put that out there, see if it sticks, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. It doesn't matter a fuck anyway. And that attitude puts us back in touch with the fact that we are a fucking plant that just needs water and sun and love. And if you start giving a shit about the made-up society that has the fake funerals and the fucking flat whites and the fucking wars, you don't blossom into a plant. And that's all human beings need to do, is just be another organism. Forget everything else. Just grow and fucking shoot through the soil and let the branches come out, and don't give a fuck, because everybody's making up fucking everything. And then at the end of the play and the show, you're fucking brown. Imagine giving a fuck. They invented that quite clearly to keep us controlled and in agreement to play the game, which we propel those who give the biggest fuck to the top, so they can influence other people with the message of giving a fuck. And we are convincing children that they should be on iPads and phones instead of sharing the eye contact with their mother when they change their fucking cacks the first moment where you look at another human and go, I can be loved, I am an organism. Now the mother's on the phone to her fucking sister talking about the shit she saw on Love Island last night, and the kid's watching a baby shark do a fucking dance while his old one's changing the shit off his arse, when that's supposed to be a spiritual moment which you share connection. And the more we betray this sense of humanity that we all should know that we share, the more we should hope that Elon Musk and the boys hurry the fuck up and turn us into fucking pieces of AI. I sat down with a guy the other night who was trying to claim that AI and ChatGPT can do all of the work he needs to do, and anybody not using it is just going to be behind. So I tested the bastarding thing out, and I typed in, what's your opinion on Eric Cantona? Just gives a factual interpretation of Eric Cantona. I then said, what do you make of the claim that Eric Cantona was football's finest performer and the closest thing to merging football and the arts that the game has ever seen? Same fucking answer from ChatGPT. When I met another young person under 24. I don't talk to people under the age of 30 normally, but sometimes it's interesting to get their fucking delusional takes on what's right and what's wrong in the world, because these cunts don't know existence without the comparative culture of social media. He was telling me that when you're sending an email or you're like writing up a evaluation, you can just type in the data. It doesn't matter. So what they're trying to do is encourage individuality and humanity out of all areas of life and work. And we deserve this as human beings, because most of the people who were behind the development of these fucking products and projects were the same people who were excluded when we were all focusing on competition and sports in the yard and not general play and human love. So they were isolated, and with the invention of computers, they were fucking empowered. Empowered to invent a world that leads to isolation, which they won't just benefit off financially, but also internally, because everyone will be like them. An alone cunt. But it's revenge. And capitalism caused it, because capitalism is led to the huge spike in bullying, because those who were physically vulnerable at the age of fucking six couldn't get a fucking word in, or couldn't be valued, because they were slower to tip the fucking can. Fuck you, I'm hitting up my computer, fast forward 20 years, and the fucking bullies are working for these cunts, and it's no longer enough, these cunts are turning us into robots, so people down the line never have to feel like they did, but in turn, like all human beings, they're blinded by their own experiences, so they're withdrawing the option of emotion, because they associate emotion with negativity. And when we lose touch with our emotions as a society, we are no longer recognizing what the fuck we are. And that is the same thing as every single other creature. And that is something that shouldn't deny our vulnerabilities. Anorexia. A condition just absolutely saturated in insecurity and judgment. Imagine a dog being an anorexic. Or a bear, or a bastarding plant. Imagine we can poison the human mind so much that we lead it to reject nurturance, take its own life, and finally no longer want the option of camaraderie and community, but instead a virtual reality within our minds. It's all bullshit, folks. And it's bad for you. But we overly evolved and ran out of ideas. We fought for this style of society, as George Carlin says. Muhammad Ali was popularized by capitalism for beating people up. And then when he refused to go to war to kill people, he was barred from beating people up. He couldn't fight for 2 years. Okay, so you don't want to kill people, then we're no longer going to let you beat people up. It's a weird complex. And we descended into this. So if the world is that fucked, and makes that little sense, of course, the only route to self-satisfaction, and me speaking for myself, is trying to feed that human and only engage in and receive stimuli that makes me remember that I'm somebody who's supposed to be in touch with my humanity and vulnerability. And then you don't know where we go. We might even make a fucking show out of this yet. Thanks for tuning in. Rate the show on Spotify. Tell a fucking mate. And yeah, hopefully we have some big guests coming up. M.A. Show.
It's been how many years, my boy?
Audio book started.
You still don't know my tears of joy. No need to go, just take it slow.
Podcast.
And have you heard the Michael Anthony Show?
Makes me feel just fine.
What's it help to see?
Makes me see the light.
What about those tears?
Cheers, believe my eyes.
How's it make you feel?
Makes me